Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettie along with Herb Tiley. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 right. Perkins Road. Acme will open up at around 11 o'clock, and so come on down. They got some great food and drink specials. And so when you get that last sip of coffee that you on right now, that last sip of whatever, if it's kind of the hair of the dog, if you've been up late,
that's right.
You come on down.
I'm looking for the first sip.
Like Herb said, the very first sip. So we want to thank Acme for opening up for us, and also we want to thank presenting sponsor, Map Construction, always great to us here. Herb, one of the things, LSU, Florida, and this is, man, at one time was such a hotly contested rivalry between the two teams. They didn't like each other. They hated one another. I mean, that was a real hate between the two teams. But at this stage, man, Florida, they're just trying to survive at this stage. And LSU is not technically out, but hanging in there. This got to be a get-right game for LSU.
Well, first of all, with Florida, they are – kind of reeling within themselves and trying to figure out where it all went wrong, right? Where did the train get off the track? So they're not really as talented as they once was on a year-to-year basis. They have some talent there. They've had a couple guys that's left over the past couple of years to go to other programs and that they see success at. And so now you have a coach who was just recently rewarded, I guess, if you will, with a little bit extra time. But we're going to see how that actually works and what that's going
to
look like.
I got to see it to believe it.
That's right, exactly.
You got that dreaded vote of confidence.
We heard that, right? Exactly. So but we don't know. But they're not playing well. I mean, they got a gauntlet of a schedule in front of them. And then you start talking about LSU today, you know, what they came off of last week. You got to feel like LSU is going to be upset, angry, mad, anything you can think of as they go into Ben Griffin Field today and try to see exactly how they're going to bounce back from last week. And it's going to be a fun game to watch for me because I always just like seeing the two colors clash against each other. It's going to be at 2:30, so it's going to be bright and sunshiny day. So it's going to be fun for me. But, you know, you got two teams right now that are licking some wounds. And I'm not quite sure who has the confidence right now. Because I do think that Florida has a good enough team to beat anybody. They just don't ever come together as one. And then I think LSU has the same. They got a good enough team to beat everybody, but what team is going to show up right now? Now, we went through a stretch as far as LSU of a five-game stretch where they looked really good. You know, they were up and down, but they finished games really strong. But then you run into Texas A&M, and then you run into Alabama, and you see the bad side of what LSU truly is, or the lesser side, let's call it that. And so we're going to see if you know, Nussmeier can come back and play a clean football game, still have the confidence that we know and love in Nuss, and then let's see if we can establish a run game. I mean, it's going to be – if we don't ever establish a run game, we're not going to be successful this year.
Well, I agree with that, and you should be angry on how they played against Alabama. That was just such a poor performance. One of the things, and I talked to Coach O about this, what's your memories of Florida? And he said, talent-wise, speed at receiver.
That's right.
And he said, man, they had some defensive guys that could run, and they were physical. I think a big part of why they're not successful today, and I did this over the last 11 years, LSU Alabama has produced the most players on an annual game basis. They have 179. Ohio State, Michigan is 154, so they in the two spot. Alabama, Auburn's in the three spot for 147. Florida, LSU, 141.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes to show you, man, over the last 11 years, 141 guys that have played in this
game. Yep.
Have went on to get drafted in the NFL. But here's where you hit a dry hole. Last year, how many players did Florida get picked in the draft? One.
Mm.
Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
The wide receiver who the 49ers picked. They had six the year before, which is pretty solid. But the year before that, they had three. You think about it.
No, that's not going to get it.
Man.
That's not going to get it.
You look at LSU, they had 10, 6, 6. So
that's right.
That goes to show you the talent pool for them has dried up. And Billy hasn't been able to put that back on good fitting when you look at the amount of talent that they have. Now, I know in this year's draft class, LSU's probably got another six guys that'll get picked.
That's right.
For Florida,
mm-hmm.
They got one defensive player, and that's Cam Jackson.
Yep.
Cam, I know pretty well. He went to Hainesville High School in Louisiana.
Yep.
Man, Hainesville. Man, you're almost in Arkansas.
That's right.
When you're in Hainesville.
Yeah.
Man, it's cowboy country there. And he started at Memphis, and then he transferred to University of Florida, and they have an Australian punter. Crosshaw.
Yeah.
He's the other one.
Yeah.
Hey, think about it. Man, two players, one on defense and your punter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I can answer the question that their recruiting has not been very good. When you only got one guy of your starting 22 that's going to get picked, now maybe one of the junior offensive linemen will declare early, that's not much. And so, Billy hasn't been able to kind of put extra water back in the jug.
No, and you will not survive and you will not be successful in the SEC if you don't have talent, period. We all know this. And at the end of the day, these guys, we're so used to seeing Florida, the Florida Gators have at least 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 guys that go in the draft. But not just that, even the guys that don't go in the draft that play at a high level that are really, really competitive. You don't see that anymore. The last three years, I haven't seen it.
Well, who dropped the ball there? Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen, that's what I was going
to
say.
He didn't want to recruit. I mean, he just wanted to be coach. Come on, in Florida, and you can't get top players?
Well, he didn't want to. That's the thing. You have to strive to want to be great. And if you're not doing that, then what do you be? You'll be mediocre all the time. So at the end of the day, though, it's up to Billy to change that. And I think that Billy has gotten –
good luck.
He's got some really great coaches on his staff. It's just he's not been successful in bringing in the talent pool. Now, another reason for that could be the NIL stuff. Maybe Florida doesn't have a really good NIL package or what they're trying to do to compete with other schools in that world. But at the end, you know, they've got to figure out how to be able to get these top-notch Florida players in there, some players from Georgia, a couple of players from Alabama, some players from Louisiana, if they can lure them. That's what they were living by all those years, I think. And so at the end of the day, it's going to be one of those things where, Billy, you got to do it or you got to go. Because the seed is on fire right now. It's got to be. The vote of confidence going into next year is one thing. Now, the reality is if you lose out this year, you may not be there.
Because I look at it, you play LSU today. Next week you play Ole Miss.
That's a loss.
And then if you lose to Florida State, he might have a lot more troubles than he's looking for.
There's only one team that's doing worse than Florida, and that's Florida State. Now, there's only one team that you can't lose to, and that's Florida State. There is another team, though, also, that if you lose to, you might lose it all. So
he might lose his job.
Yes.
Because that, to me, may be the death nail. If you would lose the last three, but especially lose to Florida State, you might survive losing to LSU and Ole Miss, but I don't know about surviving if you lose to Florida State. And they got a freshman quarterback, DJ Lagway, I saw him when he was in high school in Texas.
Yep.
He was Mr. Texas, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Texas.
Yep.
He was one of the top five recruits in the country last year. He wasn't expected to play this much, but when Graham Mertz went down with the injury, DJ, you got it. He's had some injuries, got the hamstring injury. He's expected to play today. He's really a pocket passer when you watch him. Every once in a while, he'll take off and run. And if I was him, I'd say, man, look what Reed and Milroe did. I got some lanes here.
I'm ready to run today.
But he is really, when you kind of break down the tape with him, he likes to stay in the pocket.
He does.
And what he likes to do, Herb, he's not great throwing the short intermediate. What he wants to do, he wants to hit the big deep pass. Mm-hmm. That's his forte, to try to, what I always say, open the envelope downfield.
That's right.
He wants to hit that deep pass.
Well, that's what he did when he was in high school, and he loves that. He likes explosive plays. He's a guy that is an explosive play waiting to happen. And I really, truly like the kid. I was surprised when he decided to go to Florida.
Me too.
I didn't think that he would make that pick, but he did. So right as we were talking about, you know, being able to recruit and get the right guys in, well, that's one recruit that's the right guy, and that's a top-notch recruit. But what do you have around him is the question. He's a true freshman, basically. We're trying to get him up to speed. You have no one around him to be able to make him successful, which is difficult. But he does raise the level of play of people around him.
He sure
does. We've shown that. He's shown that earlier in the season. So if he can stay healthy, which is it's with a hamstring, that's going to be difficult. I will say that. He can be really special. Now, that could be the, I guess, the start of a nucleus of getting some decent players in at Florida so that they can try to start building that program up again as the days and times move forward. So we'll see.
When you look at their starting offensive line, they've got three juniors, a sophomore, and a freshman. That's what's protecting me.
Yeah.
If I'm DJ. And the freshman, he may be the best player of the bunch, to be honest with you.
Right.
But, man, you know, the talent pool isn't there. They lose Etienne, who was a really good back. They lose him to Georgia.
He was a really great back. Now, here's the thing. That's one of the things that I'm thinking is, what is Florida's identity on offense? And I think since Billy's been there, we haven't seen it. Like, you know, when Billy was at UL, I think that his forte was running
the ball.
Yes,
and multiple backs.
That's right. He wanted to run the football all the time. But now I think he still wants to do that. But it's hard to run the football in the SEC when everybody else is throwing the ball all around the yard, you know, and you're playing from behind all the time. So you have to be able to adapt into the situation that you're in. And so I think with Legway, that would give him the opportunity to do that. But you know, Graham Mertz, when he started the season, I was never a Graham Mertz fan. I just didn't think that he had it. And so, you know, now you have Legway, who hopefully can stay healthy, but you have to put the pieces around him, starting with the offensive line, and you got to get him some wide receivers. Now, one thing that you said that was important was when you talked to Coach Owen, he talked about
the strengths
of of Florida. Speed at receiver was one. But the other was the defense. On defense, you have athletic, fast, big, strong guys. He doesn't have that anymore. He needs to figure out how to get those guys back on track and back in the building so they can be successful.
We'll be back with more of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here at 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. They'll open the doors up at 11 o'clock. We'll be back with more Tailgating Show right after this break. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. In Baton Rouge. Doors will open up at 11 o'clock. I also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Herbo, when you went up against Florida, that was heyday. Steve Spurrier and company, man, it was fun and gun. But people don't realize how well they could run the ball back then. Man, they had some really good running backs, and so they'd lull you a little bit to sleep. They'll throw it here, throw it there, and all of a sudden, then they give you a fistful of the running game. And that's
Fred Taylor.
Freddie Taylor.
I'm talking about if you've never seen Fred Taylor play football, go back and watch it. He is one of the best, not only at Florida, but in the NFL
as well. With the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's right. I just remember him running the football, just like with pure speed, power, vision, anything you can say about a running back, he had it all. And he could literally just run through you, over you, around you, whatever he wanted to do. And then he had a mouth full of gold teeth. And so he would always smile at him. And then so and he would try to intimidate you too. I mean, I remember some stories that are just crazy. I remember when one of my you know, our linebackers, Marquise Spears, he was a junior, no, a sophomore at the time. And him and Fred Taylor met at the 2-yard line in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. And they met at the 2-yard line, and then he ended up on his back 2 yards in the end zone. And he looked up, and Fred Taylor was smiling at him with his goatee. He said, "Good try, young buck." And the only thing I can remember with Dick saying was, "I ain't going back out there. They would have put somebody out there. I don't want no more of that." So, but no, man, Florida back in the days when they had Danny Waffle, I mean, and then they would throw the ball all over the park with, you know, just Ike Hilliard, Riddell Anthony. I mean, they had a bunch of talent on the outside, like you were saying, just really fast receivers that can catch everything. And then the running game was so phenomenal because it wasn't like they were just powering you off the football. They was opening everything up, and they had lanes, and they had the backs that could see in the vision to get through it, and then the speed to make it happen, and then the power to run over you against one, like I said. But the biggest thing I thought about those Florida teams when I played back in the days was they were a solid full team from offense, defense, special teams. On defense, they had Javon Kearse. They had Chester. They had, some Fred Weary was playing back then with them. I think John George, I think the guy's name was a safety. And they just had a lot of talent all across the board. And it was really, truly fun and gun. Even when you're looking on the other side of the field, it was fun to watch them play the way they played because they never really ran a traditional style of pass routes, if you will, like passing combinations and concepts and things like that. Basically, they would have like a trips to one side and then a wide out on the other side. So trips to the left, wide out to the right. And then they would just take the two furthest guys away on the trip side and just take one step and turn and just look down the line of scrimmage. They wouldn't even run a route. The guy in the middle, he would either go, he would run a post, or he would run a flag route, or a corner, or in route, or out, whatever it was. So basically it was just one-on-one the entire time. So it wasn't a lot of concept routes. So it wasn't as if Danny was really reading defenses and making sure he made the right plays.
He's thrown to an area.
He's thrown to a spot. And he would literally do that. Everybody knows Danny's throwing motion was a little bit unorthodox, and it wasn't like an actual true throwing. It was more like a shot put type of pass, and he would just loft it up in a certain spot, and they would run underneath it and catch it every time. Our defensive backs we had at the time were really, really outstanding defensive backs, and most of all of them went to the league. Denard, I can't think of Denard's last name, and then Torrey James, who played at Shaw. Uh-huh. Went on to play for the Denver Broncos for a long time. And then we had Mark Roman. Yep, drawing blanks on names, man. Mark Roman and a couple other guys. But these guys were literally step for step with the receivers. And Danny Waffle would put the ball in the only place where the receiver would catch it, and they would catch it every time. It was like the most wonderful thing to watch ever. And the timing was so impeccable and perfect that they had to practice before the game. Like, literally, you had to be out there practicing, like, full pads and everything before the game, like the 2 hours before. Because they were just special, man.
The one thing I remember is, I guess you could say, was the confidence, or maybe some people say arrogance, of Steve Spurrier. Because he kind of stuck his chest out and, hey, I'm going to run it my way.
He flipped you off anytime he wanted to.
And listen, if he had a chance to bury you,
he was going to do it.
He was going to load the boot and he was going to bury you.
Well, the thing about Steve was the fact that he knew he had a better team than you did. He always knew that. He knew we were going to win, and if we lost, that's our fault, not yours. You didn't win the game. We gave it to you. And that's okay to have that confidence as a coach. And you know, kids – 18 to 22, 23-year-old kids, young adults, really, really feed off of that. And I think that's what made Steve so special, is that he really didn't give a crap about what you thought about him, his program, or nothing. But what he was going to do was have the right kids in the program. He was going to have nothing but talent and a lot of size and speed and quickness and all this other stuff. And he was going to put the right people in the play. And so, yeah, his arrogance or his confidence, what I like to call is I just think that he's the Spurrierism. He just has it. He has that it factor, and yeah. He always has. He still has it.
And my thing today is which Florida team shows, but which LSU team shows.
Well, that's huge.
That to me, neither one of these teams have much of an identity on exactly how they're going to show up. But isn't that a lot of college football today?
That's a lot of.
We see it all across the board.
That's a lot of college football today. The parity in college football is great. One.
Because you got no depth. I think today, Herb, if you lose a player, it's a Mount Everest drop.
That's right. You have no depth. You have. Because you can't just go pick somebody from somewhere else and just bring them in, even though the transfer portal is full. It's full of guys who are transferring. For a reason, you know what I'm saying? For one reason or another. Now, here's the thing about LSU going into today, in my opinion, is the fact that you said it. You hit the nail on the head. Which team is going to show up? What identity does LSU have? You know who else is trying to figure that out? Coach Kelly. He's trying to figure it out. He don't even have the answers.
So you can hear it in his voice, Herb.
Yes.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
And I think you could hear that in Billy's voice.
That's right.
Coach Napier, when he speaks.
That's right.
It's the exact same way. Even Lane Kiffin, to a certain extent, because I think they may be the most talented team all across the board in the SEC. Even he is sort of, man, you know, which one of my teams show up? Now, they showed up last week.
They did.
You know, they took that belt and they spanked the backside of Georgia. Now, how does Georgia show up today against Tennessee?
They're going that same Georgia that showed up against Texas, guarantee it. Watch. That's what I think. I think that Georgia is going to show up. Now, here's the crazy part is – what is the next move? How do you get these kids to answer the call every week in and week out? I don't think you'll ever see it again.
My thing is, you know why? Because if you lose a player, and you're going to lose them, especially in the trenches, offensive, defensive line, you know who you're playing? Freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can say, oh, that he's a five-star recruit. No, what? You a 17, 18-year-old young man. You going up against a 22 or 23-year-old. He's a young man in my life.
Yeah, but he's a grown man. That's right.
That's a big difference in there. Very few people can make that change.
The size, the strength, the speed. The speed, but also the mental capacity to be able to let a play go when you lose. Or not get too high when you win.
Yeah, they hang on to bad plays too much. I think, you know, Bob used to always tell me this, Mike, you should have went to school to be a psychologist because you made money, but you could have made it even more on the psychology field.
That's right.
Because I think today with young players and many of them pampered from when they small and they get up, anything bad happens to them, and it trips them up big time.
Yeah.
And so as a coach, I don't care if you're an assistant coach, a head coach, you've got to be able to be the psychologist for them,
mm-hmm.
to get the most out of them. You know what? You can't do anything about the play that just happened.
Nope.
You can do about what we're fixing the run.
Yeah, the present play and the future plays, you can make an impact on. The past plays, you got to let them go. You learn from them and you move on. Now, you know, I think that LSU is actually doing a good job in that front. Psychologically, if you will, off the field, because they have some things in place that's
they
been
do
in
have
place.
People that are helping that.
Yes, field. And I think that's really good. The difference is that's off the field. How do you do this during the game, right? How do you make this happen?
That's
during
a difference,
the game?
That's right. So to speak.
That's right.
So I can tell you how to invest money, but if you don't invest it the way I tell you,
that's right.
Then guess what? You're in the same spot.
That's right.
Over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. The doors will open at 11 a.m. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgate right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. The doors will open up at 11 o'clock today. And also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. And it's time now for our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. Totally focused on patient care. We have on with us Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Sweet.
Hey, how you doing, Mike and Herb? How's things going with you guys?
We're doing good. I'm going to throw it to you because Herb and I couldn't figure it out, but which LSU team will show up today? And I'll let you roll the dice on that one.
Well, hopefully not the one that is that we've seen the last six quarters. I mean, it really is amazing, guys, to see what a difference six quarters make. I mean, you go back to the halftime of college in the game in College Station, and LSU is rolling, and Nussmeier's thrown for 200 yards, and the defense is dominating, and you know, Nussmeier throws an interception, A&M changes its quarterback, and it just hasn't been the same. It's just absolutely, LSU certainly got exposed. I think some of the cracks that were in the foundation became gaping holes or potholes, if you would. And this is a game here today where you have to, you got to get it right. And if you don't, then, I don't know. This season could almost be reminiscent of what you saw in 2015, where that team was rolling along. They were undefeated, played Alabama very well in the first half of the game, and then Alabama ran away with it in the second half, and LSU ended up losing its final – well, ended up losing the next two games after that, and Les Miles nearly got ran out of town. So – it's very similar to that. You know, if LSU puts up together another poor performance, it would remind me of the 2015 game. But I think LSU comes back and plays much better here today because Florida is they're just not a good team. Too many injuries over there, and even if they're getting Lagway back today, I just don't know how effective he's going to be here today.
Jeff, one of the things offensively, and it has grown now into the big question. LSU can't run the ball. And that is throwing everything on Garrett Nussmeier to make almost every throw count. And I think he feels the pressure.
Yes, he does.
Almost like, I got to do this because we can't run the ball. LSU's inability to run the football, and to be honest, it was masked a little bit last year because you had Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
That wasn't scripted plays. That stuff, come on, Jaden kind of impromptu himself and made plays. Their inability to run the football with such talent, and you're talking about maybe potentially two first-round pick players at the tackle position, I think is stunning for most people.
I think it's the most head-scratching thing about this team because – you know, not only what you mentioned, the focus of trying to develop a traditional running attack with no more Jaden Daniels. I mean, Brian Kelly and the coaching staff, they recognized that situation. They knew it had to be better this year. They knew they had to come out and run the football and not have to rely on a quarterback to do it. They talked about it in spring football. Brian Kelly talked about it during the summer. You go into preseason camp and you talk about trying to run the football. And, you know, granted, you don't necessarily have all the guys that you thought you were going to have. Obviously, no John Emery, him going down. Caden Durham became a revelation in the South Carolina game, but then he gets hurt and that kind of slows him down a little bit. And you know, you love Josh Williams and what he means, and he's a great story, a walk-on, and now wearing number 18. But he's certainly limited as far as being a big play guy at the running back position. So it's been a lot of factors, and I agree with you. You know, Nussmeier has felt the pressure. It's almost like a pitcher in baseball, right, when he knows their offense is scuffling and that pitcher thinks he's got to be absolutely perfect. And what does he do? You know, he hangs a curveball over the middle of the plate and gives up a three-run homer because he was just trying to be too perfect. And I think you felt that last week, in particular in the Alabama game, especially when they get into the red zone. They have a very, very difficult time running the football once they get into the red zone and scoring touchdowns on the ground this season. And that's why you had to put Tre'Davious Green in there and just give you another option once he got into the red zone as far as somebody that can catch passes and make things happen. And who knows, it may have contributed to that key interception that Nussmeier threw at the beginning of the second half of the Alabama game. He knows, hey, we can't run the football in the red zone here. So the only way we got to score a touchdown is for me to throw the ball into the end zone, and he makes a mistake and he throws that interception. And that was basically the ball game last week against the Crimson Tide.
And look, on the flip side of that, Jeff, you look at LSU's defense, and they're looking pretty good, you know, as far as pass defense. But then you can have anybody that can just pull the football out of the stomach of the running back at quarterback and then run around the end and go score anytime they want to. So how do we stop that? When do we become a team in defense that we can't run side to side and get into some kind of running lanes that the quarterback may have when he decides to keep the football?
Well, I thought last week was a week they certainly missed Harold Perkins. And I don't know if that would have really made a – I don't think having Harold Perkins on the field would have determined whether they would have won or lost, but maybe it's not as bad as it ended up being, because they just needed someone – as fast as Harold Perkins, as athletic as Harold Perkins, to somehow create a little bit more chaos there. But I guess if you want to look at head-scratching thing number two for this season is the inability to stop the running quarterback. And it's been it goes all the way back to the South Carolina game, and then seeing Colin Guggenheim have that long rushing touchdown against LSU in the Nichols game. So it's been, for whatever reason, and you know, people have talked about, well, they didn't look prepared. They didn't. You know that they worked on it. They're not that incompetent of a coaching staff that they just said, well, we'll figure it out on game day on how to stop a running quarterback. No, they worked on it. They just don't have the horses to stop it. And I think a lot of it starts on the defensive line, and then their linebackers. Whit Weeks and Greg Penn, they're good linebackers, but they just they got exposed. They got exposed. And
Jeff, what I'd say is if you go against Alabama, right, you're looking at that team that we saw last week. What do you want Jalen Hurts to beat you at? Running with his feet or trying to throw the football?
No, I want Milroe to throw it.
That's right.
You're going to try to force him to throw it. I've seen enough of him run it.
That's right.
So to speak.
I don't understand how they weren't able to slow him down. You even heard it at the end of the broadcast, you know, Kirk Herbstreit talking about it. Hey, they just don't have the talent. I mean, there's still a bunch of four-star recruits on that field. Sage Ryan was a five-star recruit, according to some recruiting services. I understand that they don't, you know, there isn't the Derek Stingley out there or the Jamal Adams or those type of players. And maybe that really does make a difference. But they still have a lot of good players out there. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. And I know the coaching staff and the players have tried everything. But at least here in this game, again, I just have a hard time thinking that DJ Lagway is going to be running a 60-yard touchdown run or a 40-yard touchdown run against LSU. I mean, this was a guy that was carted off the field two weeks ago, and I understand they take all the precautions in the world when a guy gets hurt, but for a guy to be carted off the field and then 2 weeks later, you're going to expect him to, you know, run one in from 40 yards out today? I find that hard to believe, and if it does happen today, then obviously there's real problems on LSU's defense.
Don't forget, I got $2 on that one, and I guarantee I'll win my $2 back. They're going to score at least a 30-yarder, maybe not a 60-yarder.
Yo, guys, we hadn't talked about it, but the guy they really miss, Jacobian Guillory.
Yeah.
Because he was that one big guy on the nose that sort of controlled things inside. And I think of all the losses they had, he's the biggest.
He's, yeah.
Because he would occupy a couple blockers up front. He was the guy that I think they were leaning on to be that guy. And once he went down with his Achilles, then that was end of story.
And, you know, it's hard to really see how his impact would have been because it was so early on in the season.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I will say this. I do think they're playing, with no offense to Ahmad Bro and some of the other guys that have been trying to play at that defensive tackle position, I do think they're playing with almost like three guys on that defensive line. You know, Gio Paez has been solid. He hasn't been great, but he's been solid. And then obviously Braden Swinson and Savion Jones have been really good at times. I think Swinson now has been limited a little bit because you don't have Perkins out on the field. I think teams have, since he's had his big games where he's, you know, had multi, you know, a bunch of sacks against Ole Miss and South Carolina, I think teams now realize, okay, that's a guy we got to make sure that doesn't come and hurt us. And with no Perkins on the field, it makes it easier for teams to game plan against him. But, you know, Ahmad Bro is a true freshman, and he could end up being a really good player. But this was a kid that was playing on the end last year in high school football, and now you're asking him to be a defensive tackle in the SEC. It's just such a big ask. I know JBR Suggs has given you, when he's out there, he only plays like 10 plays a game, and when he's out there, he might make an impact in two or three of those plays, and it'll be a good impact. But there's just not enough there. And I know they've been trying to get Dominic McKinley out there. But, again, you're asking a true freshman. So it's going to take time. And, again, it's going to be an area that they're going to have to address in the transfer portal. And hopefully they're able to get more impact players on that defensive line.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yes,
always
sir.
Appreciate your
yes,
insights
sir.
And time, brother. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, guys. We'll see you. Thanks. Appreciate
it. That's a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook, brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on patient care. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Be opening up the doors shortly here because it's almost 11 o'clock.
2 minutes.
So that's it. And then we want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor. Herb, one of the things I guess is the major question mark, and I think when you do shows in Gainesville, they're saying the same thing, is how bad their defense has been against the run, Florida. Man, they were always a team that stuffed you. Man, they had big linebackers,
yep.
And they would pop into those gaps and hit you. Okay, they stopped the run. And it's funny how these two teams, known for physicality,
yeah.
The ability to stop the run, and both are vulnerable today.
It's not there. It's just, I mean, I think you hit it. It's, where's the talent level at? Where's just the fact of being the right size, the right speed, have the right strength? It's just not there. And so I don't know what you do. So it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a lot of finesse going on. It's going to be like a tango, really, more than.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the dance.
I agree with that.
You know, and that's what it's going to be. And it's going to see who cannot make the most mistakes. Period. Throwing interceptions, turnovers, things of that nature.
That's why I think a team who can establish the run, not so much between the tackles, but on the edge.
On the edge and outside.
They
yep.
got an opportunity because you got some open field.
Well, you already know that LSU is going to allow the quarterback to take the edge anytime he wants to. So,
well, we've seen that for two games.
That's right.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. We'll be back right after this news break. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler here.
Legendary.
How about that? At Acme Oyster House, and the doors are open, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got a lot of great food and drink specials here. We already got a few customers that already rolled in almost before the 11 o'clock opened up. And also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Herb, one of the things that Jeff brought up was, you know, line play up front. And I do think that's an area that you got to recruit high school kids, but I think maybe the biggest part of Brian Kelly missing has been some of the guys he's picked up in the transfer portal up front, defensive line. You've whiffed on that. Those guys have not worked out.
So there was three positions that I was really excited about with Brian Kelly when he came in to LSU. The first was the tight end position.
Yep.
The second was offensive line, and the third was defensive line. Because I thought he did a phenomenal job.
At Notre Dame, he had it.
Yeah, he did a phenomenal job of selecting those three position-type players. And I just haven't seen it thus far, you know. And I don't know. Well, I do know why. I think it's a part of the NIL and all this other stuff. I think that has a thing to do with the difference in how you recruit certain people and who you can bring in. Because everybody else is vying for the same person. But somebody might give another $200,000 to him, and he may lean that way and go in that direction.
If he played defensive tackle, I'll give him that money.
I would too.
That's the way I look at it.
I would too. But then you're fighting a battle, okay? So you got a quarterback who's just offered $10.5 million by somebody else. So you know, I need that $200, you know, to give back to him. So you know, so that's what I mean by that. I think the game has changed in regards to recruiting. So I was really excited about Coach Kelly coming in for those three positions, tight ends, offensive line, and defensive lineman. And I figured that at LSU, you can get all of the skill position players because they just want to come to
Louisiana
LSU.
Louisiana.
Yeah, they're all over. That's right.
God,
the only thing that was a difficult situation was the linebacker play. And so just trying to figure out where you would get those guys from, you know. But
isn't that weird? Because today's linebackers look like safeties.
They do.
And I'll look at it. Does Louisiana produce a lot of linebackers? No.
No.
Really? And, you know, Cooper, who was at Texas A&M, you know, he was a Louisiana guy.
Yep.
LSU passed on him.
Yep.
And he went to A&M instead. But that, to me, of anything in the recruiting cycle, is strange that you don't have a bunk full of those linebackers that could play the way the game's played today, not yesteryear, today.
Yeah, because you would think that the size type athlete that we, I guess, breed here in Louisiana would be one of those type of athletes, because we have guys that can fit the mold when it comes to what they look like, the physicality of them.
And at one time you had it.
That's right.
Debo Jones?
That's right. You're Debo, you know, and we can go down the line, too, when you start talking about that. Brady James, you know, is one of the best linebackers of all time.
I mean, Trey Falk,
you know. So, I mean, we have them. It's just, where are they, right? I'm assuming they're playing receiver now.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? We see it at all the camps.
That's right.
You'll see a guy. He's 6'2", and he's like 195 pounds in high school. And I'll ask him you know, what you play? Oh, I play wide receiver. What you play on defense? I don't play defense. That's the second question. That's sort of a dumb question, but he gives it to you sharp. No, I don't play defense.
See, you know, back in the days, don't forget, guys, I was Mr. Interception back at Etna Carr in 1991 and 92. I'm sorry, 90 and 91. And I caught 5 interceptions in a shortened season due to a strike by the teachers. So, you know, I understand the two-way player. So, as an offensive quarterback and then switching over to cornerback.
Just like A-Bear.
I mean, I was wonderful.
You sound just like A-Bear with that. Because he was the same way, too. He was a defensive back
before
he got moved to the quarterback his senior year.
But you know what? That was fun to do, though, at the end of the day, because we enjoyed playing the game of football. So, it didn't matter. And then before we went to practice or after practice, we would go outside around the neighborhood and play ball in the street. And so when you play ball in the street, you're playing every position. You're playing quarterback, receiver, you know, cornerback, some type of safety, if you will. Nice touch football, but that's where you garner those skills at, you know, and where how you can, you know, your awareness and finding the ball, your ball skills and things like that. Whereas now they don't do that. And so it's just only the time that they're at football practice or doing some kind of 7-on-7. That's right.
Today, much more than any other time ever in sports.
We'd play football for 2 hours and then turn around and play basketball. And then turn around and go play baseball.
And
then turn around
and
go
run track.
That's right. And, you know, but this was all in the same day, though. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Doing all this, you know, so it's not like different seasons. But it was fun, though. But we don't see that in the recruiting cycle when you come to the linebacker playing that kind of stuff. But LSU does need to figure out a way up front on both sides of the ball. How can we recruit better and get better offensive linemen, defensive linemen, that the fans, that the NFL, that the college experts all are used to LSU having? That's the thing. Now, at one point, I thought LSU didn't have the greatest offensive linemen, and I think that most of them were going to Alabama and Georgia, places like that. but we would always be competitive up front on a defensive side. And so we need to figure out a better way to get these athletes in or to be committed and stay with LSU.
Look at it this way. Whit Weeks is 10 pounds less from being a safety.
That's right.
You take a look at his build.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he just looks like a kind of pumped up safety.
That's right.
Harold Perkins, I think this is the first year he's playing, and his second number is a two.
It's a two.
He was 210 or 215 or 218. So that's the type player today that they're looking for at the linebacker position, because now they're putting a lot of pressure on them, not only to play the run, but you got to cover.
That's right.
Because if you don't cover, hey, you got to watch.
And that's what they've been trying to do with Harold now, you know, before he got injured. They were trying to figure out, how do we accelerate his game?
Well, my thing is, put him on the line and say, sick him, Harold. Get the quarterback.
At LSU, yes. But they're looking forward to the NFL in the future and what he's going to be. But I don't really care what he's going to be in the future.
That's what I think.
I want him to go get the quarterback right now.
Exactly.
Because he's best suited. Because what's going to happen is, if he doesn't make any plays at LSU, he may not get the opportunity to make plays in the NFL at the end of the day. So let's allow him the opportunity to make every play he can at LSU, and then let the NFL deal with him when they get there.
I think that one game against A&M where A&M kind of squashed him, they played big ball, and Achan's still running you know, off those edge plays, I think sort of changed their mind about it. My thing is, just move him around. That way you can't aim your offense toward him every play.
No.
Move him.
And here's the thing. You don't have to be stuck in the mud when it comes to trying to just play – coach football and present whatever your defense or offense or whatever your game plan is. Be different.
Yeah.
Be innovative. Be creative. Do all of these if things that there are, right, to do, so that you're not just this one-dimensional or this one type of coaching or football team or playing or whatever that is. Because if it were I would have first team, second team, and third team guys, right? I would figure out a way to mix and match the second team personnel to work with the first team, a third team to work with a second team, or third team guy to work with a first team guy, because you're going to need them all at some point. And if you mix and match the right, you know, players at the right time, you never know what you get. You may have a guy who's a big plugger in the middle of the field, but he's not going to really get to the quarterback, but he's a good run stop.
Yeah.
And then you have a guy on the outside that's a really good run stop that can get to the quarterback sometimes when he needs to. And then on the other side, you get somebody, all he needs to do is get to the quarterback. How about you find a way to mix and match those guys together and make that work? And then I just think that creativity is one of the things that's been kind of lacking when it comes to football, when it comes to depth charts and things like that. Because I just remember, you know, when we played Florida in 97, the one thing that we did was they did what they called at the time the Chinese Bandits. And so what they had a second group.
That's the second version of the Chinese Bandits.
That's right.
Because so Dietzel did the first
that's
one.
That's right. So they did a first team, a second team, and they did a third team. And what they did was they rotated them out. So they all were fresh the whole entire time, but Florida's offense was not. And so you can run a second team up against a first team 50% Florida offensive lineman that your second team is at 60%, so you're 10% better than their offensive lineman, their first team at 50%, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get you.
And so what they were doing was they were always fresh and they were outmanning them. And that's the approach that I would take when I'm on defense, because it's hard to do it on offense, but you can do it on defense because you're just, like you said, sick them, go get the quarterback, go get the ball.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road, right here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Doors are open. Got a lot of great food, drink specials. You can watch the games up on the television screen. We got 16 across the board. We're actually watching Tulane right now as 0-0 as they play in Navy. And also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. And it's time now for our Inside the Tiger Den segment. Brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have Kevin Brockway, who covers the Gators for the Gainesville Sun and also for the Gannett, Florida Network. So, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Oh, I say this afternoon because we didn't pass noon now.
Yeah, hey, I've been to that Acme, by the way, before. That's great stuff. Great Chargirl Oysters there. I hope you guys are having a good time.
Yeah, sure.
That's right.
And kind of tell us about this season, because I think coming into it, Kevin, there was a lot of promise for this season that maybe this would be the year Billy can turn the corner, and it ain't happened. And other than run the football, which I think they do pretty well, is there anything else they can hang their hat on this year?
Well, you know, I think when you look at the season, I mean, it got off to a bad start in September, and then October they built a little momentum. Obviously, you know, the Tennessee loss, that was disappointing in overtime. Had they won that game, you know, I think things could have really turned. And then, obviously, since then, the back-to-back losses to Georgia and Texas. I mean, you knew coming in this was going to be a hellacious schedule, but it just hasn't worked out. They're 4-5 right now, obviously 2-4 in the SEC. A lot of, you know, really since the, you know, season opening loss to Miami that was a blowout, there's been a lot swirling about Billy Napier's job, although, you know, Scott Strickland gave him a voice of confidence. You know, DJ Lagway is coming back today for Florida, and he is a guy who can throw the ball downfield a little bit. I mean, in his, you know, last full start against Kentucky, he averaged 37 yards a completion, which is pretty astounding, right? You know, he throws a deep ball really well. I mean, there's going to be obviously a lot of questions about his mobility with coming off the hamstring injury. He wasn't really that much of a dynamic runner before then, but he can really throw the football and throw it deep with some accuracy. And that's something that with him back this week adds a little wrinkle and could provide a little more balance for the offense.
Kevin, one of the things I told this to Herb in talking to Coach Ogeron, he'd always bring up, man, when you played Florida, fast receivers, they were real physical on defense. And he said, man, you came out of that game beat up. Man, their secondary got after you. The defense, is, to me, is the biggest change for Florida. And where, you know, other than maybe Cam Jackson, the transfer guy, he's former Louisiana. He's a high school guy here in Hainesville, and then he went to Memphis, then to Florida. I think that's one pro prospect eligible for the 2025 draft. That was never the case. You always had 3, 4, 5 guys on defense that would come out for the draft, and they were on the defensive side of football. That's been an area where it's a change, because you don't see the physicality and also the playmaking skills for the secondary like it used to be.
Yeah, no question. I think the defense has been it's been a work in progress all season long. They've had moments. They had a stretch in October where they played pretty well, but they're really banged up right now in the secondary. Because another pro prospect that you didn't mention, Jason Marshall Jr., you know, went down in that Kentucky game with a shoulder injury. He hasn't been back. Devin Moore, you know, knee injury in the Georgia game. He hasn't been back. So Texas really exploited that last week, a lot of their problems in the secondary. And they're down to playing, you know, Tre'Quez Bridges at corner, who's actually a safety. He's having to fill in an emergency basis and play corner. He's a transfer from Oregon. The one thing I will say, though, is they've been a little better in terms of interceptions. 9 interceptions this year. It's, I think, 4th or 5th in the SEC. They have been doing a better job of late, you know, taking away the football. But you're right, the physicality and the overall. Listen, Billy has had a lot of misses on defense in the transfer portal. It's been a big problem. He's done pretty well offensively, but defensively there are some guys that he brought in that just haven't really, you know, contributed, you know, to a great deal or have, you know, been kind of playmaking defensive guys. And it's still very young on that side of the ball. Grayson Howard, who is actually having a nice season, he's out. But you might see the freshman linebacker, Miles Graham, who's started to make a few plays there of late. But yeah, the pass rush has just been kind of in and out. And I know that LSU offensive line, even though it's banged up a little bit, they do a great job protecting Nussmeier.
So Kevin, Florida's 4-5 right now. That's really not, indicative of what Florida football is all about. This game is at 2:30. LSU's coming to town. What's the vibe around the city? What's the vibe around this game?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's kind of funny. Last night, Steve Spurrier, this will tell you how desperate times are. Steve Spurrier at his restaurant last night basically kind of implored the fans and said, hey, look, you know, if we pull out this upset against LSU, you guys rush the field, and I'll pay the fine. So I think he's trying to get people fired up. And I think he's trying to get people fired up a little bit in town. You know, he's saying swarm the field. But he also said he left one caveat. He said don't tear down the goalpost, but have fun on the field. But, you know, I think that kind of tells you, like, you would never hear in the past, you know, Florida was always above storming the field because they felt like they were supposed to win. But this is where we are now. Unfortunately, year three in the Billy Napier era, it's been tough. And listen, you know, I think every SEC team has injuries this time of year, but Florida's had really a bunch throughout the course of the season. Of course, you can evaluate that too. What does that mean as far as your strength and conditioning or some of the athletes that you know, Billy Napier's recruiting, you know, can they get through an SEC schedule compared to the competition you're facing? But it's kind of where they are right now. They're a very banged up team. And that certainly has, led to, I think, where the roster is now, particularly in the secondary and obviously at quarterback, losing Graham Mertz and then DJ Lagway. But I think, again, now that they have Lagway back, there's at least a little hope that he can make some plays. And they are running the football well, too, with Montrell Johnson, another guy, New Orleans guy, has been out. But they've had Jaden Bond, Jacoby Jackson picked up the slack and run the ball pretty well the last couple of weeks.
You mentioned Coach Napier being in his third year, and then also you mentioned a voice or a vote of confidence. What does that mean? Where are we?
I don't know. Normally that means you're getting fired.
What does that mean, Kevin?
Oh, it's good to hear Coach O, by the way. I think that everything that we hear is Scott's going to give him the fourth year because he wants to give him the full recruiting cycle. He wants to give him the benefit of the doubt this year in terms of everything that's gone on injury-wise. This was the toughest schedule in the nation that he was facing. He really believes in Billy Napier. Now, some fans are not happy about that, but it's kind of, I think Scott's in a situation too where, you know, maybe his reputation's a little bit at stake when it comes to that, but at the same time, he really believes that, you know, the fourth year, one more year of maturity, depth of some of Billy Napier's recruiting classes, another year of Lagway, because he would probably lose him if Billy leaves, and a full year, healthy year of him, that maybe things can turn, you know. But he'll be on the hottest of hot seats next year, but I think he gets the fourth year.
Kevin, you brought it up, but I was going to ask you about Montrell Johnson. I remember watching him, De La Salle High School in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that he was not at an SEC school to start. But he went, and he was with Billy, University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, and then transferred to Florida. Kind of give us a little bit about Montrell and how well he's doing. You had ATN, another Louisiana guy, but then he decided to take that Georgia money and I'm going to go there.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about Montrell Johnson, how well he's doing this year, because I do think that part of their offense has worked pretty well when they run the football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's been an unfortunate year for Montrell because it really started in August in fall camp where he had his knee scoped. So he missed a lot of camp, but then he came back probably the last week of camp, had a 71-yard touchdown run against Miami. I was one of the few bright spots and ran the ball okay, pretty well in September and into early October. But then, planted his knee wrong in a game against Tennessee, and he hasn't been back since. He's been game-time decisions the last couple of weeks, but has not played. The one thing, too, is, you know, another guy you guys know from Louisiana, Jabbar Jalouk, very underrated running backs coach, has done a great job here because it seems like no matter who goes down or if ETN leaves, I'm telling you, this freshman running back, Jaden Baum, he first caught our eye in the spring game, but 5 touchdown runs against Kentucky, that tied a school record. He's a 227 to 230-pound kid with a little bit of elusiveness and power. He's very good. And then a JUCO transfer from Mississippi, Jacoby Jackson. I mean, he ran for 116 last week against Texas. So some of that was in garbage time against second and third stringers. But still, the week before against Georgia, he was UF's leading rusher as well. So they do a good job developing and finding running backs there. That's one of Billy's and his staff's real strengths is they do a good job in the run game. And I think the offensive line, too, is run blocking a little better than they were earlier in the season.
Kevin, tell us a little bit about the backup quarterback, and hopefully you don't tell me they can run the read option real well. Because, man, I'd have a section of plays for him, because LSU hasn't stopped that in the last six quarters. We know with DJ, he has primarily been a pocket quarterback. Every once in a while he'll take off, but he primarily is a pocket quarterback. And with the hamstring, I don't think, you know, he's going to be galloping around. I wouldn't hope so. But your second-string quarterback, don't tell me that he can run that read option.
No. It was Aiden Warner who started last week. I wouldn't say he's the most mobile guy. I mean, they have read option elements in Billy's offense, naturally. But, yeah, Aiden Warner's not a blazer, and I don't think they have anyone in that regard. You know, what they did a little bit in the Georgia game and the Texas game is they did do some wildcat with Baugh, and I don't know if they're going to do that again this week a little bit too. But
it's the quarterback in the wildcat.
Baugh, the running back, Jaden Baugh, the Wildcat.
Okay.
So they did a little bit of that the last 2 weeks as well. So you might see some of that, and I don't know if that will throw LSU off a little bit, but that would be like the closest thing. But I think with DJ's hamstring, I don't think you're going to see too many design runs. I think it's going to be him throwing the ball a lot, and they're going to try to rely on the run game too. I think the run game was effective for him against Georgia, was effective for him against Texas a little bit in the second half. And that's, you know, something that they've, like I said, they've done well, and they're getting a little more physical and a little more healthy on the offensive line. And I think that is honestly their best chance to beat LSU, keep Garrett Neffmeyer off the field. And, you know, obviously that high powered throw game that LSU has.
Kevin, thanks so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it. With your time and all your insights. Only thing I can tell you is, listen, when you cover a bad team or a team that's struggling, you got a lot to write about. You got a lot when things kind of get off the tracks a little bit.
That's right.
And so I know
there's always dysfunction, trust me. Yeah, it's dysfunction sells, but it's really been an up and down 3 years since I've come back from Indiana to cover Florida, but it's never dull here.
Oh, but you were in Indiana? Man, they got it rolling now.
Yeah, they got it rolling.
Man, Cignetti got it rolling. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All righty. That was Kevin Brockway, who writes for the Gainesville Sun, also for the Gannett Florida Network. But, man, you know, again, hard times. There's always talk when it becomes hard times.
It made sense, though, what he said about Florida having the most difficult schedule in the country. A lot of injuries, and then having to try to keep Legway there one more year if you keep Billy Napier. So it makes sense. I get it, but you still got to win.
Yeah, exactly. That was our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettea, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Man, we got a nice crowd rolling in here, so they got tremendous food and drink specials. If you want to watch the game, you can come here and watch it. And, man, they got 16 surround sound TVs. You can watch all the games. And we're watching right now is Tulane. Early in the game, in the second quarter, has a 7-0 lead over Navy.
Yep.
Herb, one of the things in this game, how much do you think they can tap into Corey Raymond? Because Corey has been there the last 2 years at Florida, and his knowledge of the personnel there, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Well, it depends, right? If the personnel is still there, yeah. Because they could have had some turnover there.
They got some turnover there.
But you can at least understand the philosophy and the concepts of what they're trying to do.
What Billy's trying to
do. That's right. So you can probably tap into a little bit of that. Now, this is sort of a homecoming for Corey, but really Corey's at home here at LSU.
No question about that.
And it's going to be interesting because you're going to have a lot of Louisiana ties with Billy Jabbar, and I'm sure there's somebody else on their staff that's from Louisiana. And, you know, it's going to be one of those games, I think, for me, is understanding who wants this game more, right? Is Billy really fighting for his job? Is he fighting for the attention of some you know, potential
recruits? Are the players fighting for Billy? That's the thing for me. Billy can fight for it. He better get his players to fight for it.
And I think they are. I just don't. I think the injuries has really, you know, plummeted his depth chart, if you will. And so he only has what he has as far as the talent level that he can actually put on the field and display. So it's going to be really hard for him. I really think LSU is going to go there with a chip on their shoulder, upset, angry again, and just mad at the world about what happened last week. And how did they get that bad taste out of their mouth and the visions of that loss from everybody else? How did they get that out of that, you know, their, you know, the fans' eyes and memory banks?
One other thing, too, in watching them in film study this week and kind of break it down, is that Florida plays a lot of off coverage.
Yep.
To me, that would really play into Nussmeier's hands.
That's right.
You giving that receiver cushion where you can run those little sharp plays. Okay, I don't have to hit that 20-yarder downfield. I'll take that 7 or 8 yard pass. Maybe I can break a tackle and turn it into 20.
That's right.
But Florida, and every play, it's like they off coverage. Man, come on, you got to take advantage of that with your receivers.
Well, and then we've got a couple of really quick hitting receivers that can take the ball the distance, right? If you get the ball to Aaron Anderson or Zay Thomas, those guys will be able to make something happen really quickly. And then, you know.
Also the slants. If you have with Lacey.
So the thing about it, though, is that Nuss has to believe in the blocking scheme. So one of the things that I realized last week when I was watching the game that he was doing, and this happened also in the second half of the Texas A&M game, when he got to his final step on his drop, he didn't push forward and stay in the pocket, slide up or whatever. He kept drifting.
Yep.
When you drift, that means you're not quite sure your pass protection is going to be there. You're not sure if your receivers are going to get to where they want to be. And then now you got to make these Brett Favre-ish type throws and passes to where you're using nothing but arm strength. And we didn't see that in the beginning part of the year from Nuss. And I hope he can get that confidence back in the offensive lineman to where he can just sit in the pocket, you know, hit his final step and then push off that back foot and drive the ball through and just be confident and stop trying to do way more than what you need. Go again, take your feet, go get me a 6 yard run, get down on the ground, let's keep the chains moving. If you get outside of the pocket, no one's there, throw the ball away. Right? Don't try to force something back into the middle of the field when you don't have it. It's okay to fight for another down and to live for the next day.
But you've been in that spot where you feel I've gotta make that play. Now, you always had a running game. But he's got virtually none.
He doesn't. But here's the thing is you have to make a play. The play is either going to be the right play or it's going to be
the wrong play. So that's no gray in there.
That's right. So which one are you going to make? At least just make the right play, because you can give your defense an opportunity to get the ball back for you, or you can get your defense an opportunity to either, you know, create a takeaway or something like that when they have the ball. But if you get a sudden change and the ball is back in the defense, you know, the defense is back on the field at the 15 going in, that's not a good situation.
You brought it up, and I was going to bring it to you about takeaways, because I think that's critical here too.
Yeah.
With Nussmeier, he's at critical interceptions.
At the wrong times.
And, man, it's at wrong terrible places. Times. You've got to flip that.
Yes.
You've got to be able to make the freshman quarterback Lagway, you got to make him make the mistake.
Yeah,
he's throwing the football.
He's not only got to make the mistake, but you got to keep him with the ball at the, you know, going the distance of the field. And that's important, because you can't throw an intercept at your own 20-yard line and give him a short field to go score, because anybody's going to be successful with that. The other thing that does is it really demoralizes your teammates. And they really feel like you're not the one or the guy that can make the right decisions to put them all in the best situation. And so, you know, having takeaways, I think that one thing is LSU's not really good at taking the football away. We have not been good at that. But we have been really good as of late of giving the ball away. So how do we change and flip that? That's going to be key. So I think it's just mindset, and it's just, you know, taking care of the football and being smart about the ball in your hands and not just, again, trying to create a play and make
that's
a play
not there.
Doesn't necessarily mean just that the play is just throw it away. It could be just throw it away so you can punt the football and let's go into the next situation, because you want to keep field position too. That's the one thing you want to make sure of when you're a quarterback. You have to make the right decisions.
One thing I can tell you, this Australian punter that they have, Crawshaw, man, he can punt it. He is so really good.
Speaking of punts, remember we kept saying at some point Thomas is going to take one. Look, at the Alabama game, he had two nice, really
close.
Good runs.
It was close.
And so this might be the game that we see that. You know, we never know.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Got a great crowd here, but if, man, your belly's grumbling, come on down. You can talk some football with Herb and I, and also they got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. And also we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We talked a little bit about taking care of the football today. Herb, I think that is
pivotal.
A huge, huge part if LSU is going to get a win. Got to protect the football.
Well, I think you got to protect the football. You got to try to take it away. If you don't protect the football, it's going to be very difficult. And you're away in, you know, at Florida, and it's going to be tough for you to
And it's
overcome.
Loud.
It's loud, and the fans are literally 2 feet behind you. When you look at that stadium, if you're watching that game today at home, guys, when you look at the sideline shots, see how close the stands are really behind, or not far at all behind, the opposing team's bench. And it's not fun to be there listening to what they're calling you and what they call your mama too whenever they, you know, they get her name or whatever. So it's pretty funny, but at the same time, it's just one of those things where you just got to block it out and you got to go play football. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. At one time, this was in the 60s, and God bless him, he passed away a couple weeks ago, Don Schwab.
Yep,
Don was on that LSU team they played in Gainesville. He said, man, they were throwing change at him, like pennies, nickels. He said, man, Joe LaBruce, who was the running back on that team, he said, you left out of that with about $1.25 picking up all the loose change were throwing at them. But again, that's a different time, different world. But they are very close to your bench.
Yeah.
When you see how close it is, the fans and the stands, and it is loud when they get that chomp going.
I played there twice, and I always said it was probably one of the best experiences that I played football. In the football game, because of the fan experience and how close they were, but also just because it's Florida, and at that time they were Florida.
They were the kingpins at that time. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Got another half hour more on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show. We'll be back right after this news break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show.
That's right.
Mike Dettay along with the legendary Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got a lot of great food, drink specials. Hey, if you want to watch the game, you can come here, get a great meal. And, man, enjoy all the college football right in front of you. And, again, super food and drink specials, and also for catering. I know Jason has always talked to me about it, that, hey, if you don't want to cook for some of the holidays or some of a weekend, hey, give them a call here at Acme Oyster House, and Jason will take care of you. And they do a great job catering all across the Baton Rouge area. Also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. One of the guys to watch today, Herb, and we brought him up a little bit, is number 13, Jaden Ball. A true freshman running back who has taken over because of injuries to Montrell Johnson. And Montrell's been sort of questionable for the last couple weeks, coming off the knee injury. But, man, Ball looks to be a really good runner. Now, they list him at 6 foot. Oh, I don't think he's quite that big. I think he's more to 5'10 and 3/4 range. But, man, he's pieced together. And he's a thickly built back, and he's not going to go down quickly. And he's got some scoot after the initial draw when he catches the ball. The other thing, too, is they've used him in the Wildcat, and we heard Kevin talk about it, Kevin, and that they have used that.
You better watch out
for that, and watch out for that. And LSU's had so much trouble stopping the run. Number 16 might well be the straw that turns the drink. Oh, number 13, excuse me. Mm-hmm. He may well be the straw that turns the drink for them today for the Gators on offense.
Ball, 89 carries, 411 yards rushing, 4.5 yard average with six touchdowns. He looks like the typical Florida running back that they that Coach Napier likes, right? He looks like ATN. He looks like Montrell
Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah. I was about to say Montel Jordan. That was a good. He's a good singer, but he don't play running back.
Yeah.
But you know, he looks like the typical Florida running back that Jabbar Jalouks liked those running backs to look like. And it's so funny because, you know, the one thing we were talking about is how great, you know, when there was the fun and gun and all this other stuff. Well, let's look at after Steve Spurrier, right? So you had Tim Tebow in that group. They weren't throwing the ball like Steve Spurrier was throwing the ball. They was running the ball. Now, they'll surprise you with a jump pass here and there or something else. And then you go to Dan Mullen and all of his groups or whatever. They wasn't throwing the ball all around the park. They were running the football. Now, you come back with Billy Napier, who wants to do essentially the same thing. And it's interesting to see how they're going to approach today's game, because today's game is going to be...
That's not Billy's nature.
No, it's not. It's not. And we're going to see what it's going to be, because I think that, to be honest with you, I really think that Florida, if they're going to win this game, I think they're going to beat you by what they can do best. And that's DJ Lagway throwing the football down the field.
Downfield and running the football. That's the one thing, Herb, that all through the season they have done pretty well is when they commit to the run. Now, they got to commit to it.
You got
to
stick with it.
But they can run the football pretty well. They got a big offensive line. They can kind of play a little small ball with you. But, again, number 13, Jaden Ball. You heard it here. That's the guy they want to feed the ball to. Mm-hmm. LSU's got to be cognizant of that. The same thing, Florida's got to be cognizant of Caden Durham.
And look, they're going to run the football with Ball. Now, the other thing is, the question is going to be, is Johnson going to be back today? Because he might be back today.
He might
play. But here's the thing. When you commit to it, like you said, you commit to the run, that means you committed to it in every facet that there is. It's not just that one person. You have to add other guys in that mix. Now, does that mean that Legway is going to run the football? Maybe so. It depends. He may feel good enough to run the football, but I know one thing. They're going to have to use Legway to throw the ball downfield, make explosive plays, and then LSU's got to find a way to be in the run game, run gaps, and stop the running game. Because if they don't do that, it's going to be a long day for them. I don't think they'll be able to survive if they can't stop the run.
One of the things with DJ is I see he'll take a quick look at a short pass, but that's not his nature.
No.
He wants to throw that middle and deep pass because I think he feels comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The little short stuff, and when you watch him, when he plants and throws, he's okay. But a lot of times he's throwing it, and it's almost like kicking himself backwards when he throws the ball. It's off balance, and he sails it.
Yeah.
He sails that ball over a receiver or a running back coming out of the backfield.
It's a different mechanic when you're throwing the ball, you know, in the short yardage passing game. You have to be really confident in the mechanics of it. It's not just throwing the ball deep and allowing your arm strength to get the ball to where you want it to be. It's timing. It's mechanics when it comes to your follow-through or less thereof. It's kind of like a free throw versus a three-pointer.
Right.
And so you just got to be really, really cognizance on how you throw the football. Now, you know, it's what I'm also interested to see in this game from LSU is LSU's run game. What are we going to do?
Or what semblance of a running game is it?
You know, there was times last week, even in the passing games, where it looks like the offensive linemen didn't have a clue of what they were doing.
Man, you saw the center guard on two plays.
Yeah.
They went out to block a guy that wasn't there. There was a loose guy running into the backfield.
And it ran right past him. Ooh. Like, they didn't even take a look at it twice. So I was like, man, what's going on here? So it's going to be interesting to see if LSU's got that fixed, because to me that's coaching. And then that's the guys really understanding what they're there to do on those plays. And it's going to be I want to see if LSU can do if they can do that. The run game for LSU is pivotal. I don't think they're going to win any more games if they don't have a running game, because I just think that Nussmeier is going to have too much pressure on him to be able to you know, play flawless football from here on out. If he can play flawless football from here on out, then LSU could probably have a chance to win. But Nuss is going to put way too much pressure on himself to make a play and not make the right play. So LSU's run game has to come through for him.
The other thing, too, is in how they use Whit Weeks in this game. If you have a freshman quarterback, and the way Whit sort of jumps around a little bit. Now, sometimes he's over-aggressive and he'll pull himself out of position. But you're trying to get a mismatch where Whit would get a clean shot into the backfield, either through the middle or off the edge. Today, I think they use Whit a lot as the confusion guy on defense. He may line up one spot, and then he moves right at the last minute. Because with DJ, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of skins on the wall as far as college games are concerned. So my thing about it is, I think Whit Weeks plays a huge part in this game and where they position him to make a play defensively.
Well, when he gets there, he's got to make the play.
He can't overrun it.
You know, different things like that. You got to finish the play. Now, the other side of that is everybody else that's along with Weeks. Where are you guys? Where's Greg Penn? Where's Major Burns? We need those guys to come up and make plays because they've been doing that prior to the last six quarters. We haven't seen those guys do that, especially in that Alabama game. And so it's going to be it's going to be something that I'm going to be looking forward to. So when it comes to Whit Weeks, he's got to show me again that he's the guy that played, you know, the guy that was playing two, three games ago, right? I want to see him get back to that Arkansas Whit Weeks, that guy that's all over the place. They were comparing him to the Honey Badger. They was doing all these other stuff. That's the Whit Weeks we want to see. Now, you know, it also is a team sport. It's a team effort. Everybody has to be able to fulfill and perform in their role that they need to fulfill.
Here's my deal. They don't have Ryan Williams Jr. You know, they don't have Ryan Williams, a second version of him. Man, Ryan Williams, he spun around that cornerback on that little out pattern the first play. Yeah. He almost like corkscrewed him into the ground.
Right.
But he was baiting him. You could see what they were trying to do. Throw it short. And then Jalen just missed. I mean, it was right there. Had that been on a good field, Ryan Williams scores on that play. And he outran everybody. Florida don't have a guy like Ryan Williams.
No, and like we talked about earlier, that's another thing, man. You know, last week you had a couple things going for you. You was at home and it was night. It was a rainy night too. So why not put everybody in the box and force him to throw the football?
I agree.
Instead of sitting back and trying to allow, you know, trying to stop the pass, they're not going to pass the ball.
Yeah, because you watched Alabama, they were helping their corners because they weren't afraid of the run.
No.
They let their safeties kind of bracket every receiver LSU had.
Yep.
We'll be back to finish it up here at our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show from Acme Oyster House right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Again, if you don't want to cook, man, come over here, get a great meal. You got great food and drink specials. Also, they'll take care of your catering needs. So we're just talking to the young lady who was involved with it last weekend.
That's right.
They did a great job with it. With LSU when they played Alabama, you can call and talk to Jason. He'll take care of you on that catering business. Also want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor. What'd they say that? Map Build, Build Beyond?
Map Build
Beyond.
Beyond.
How about that? Okay. Okay, give us keys to victory, Herb.
I mean, don't do what you did last week. Whatever
that
was.
You got to throw that script away.
That's right. So
don't read that script.
You know, you got to throw out what you did last week. Throw it away. Exit it out of your memory with the exception of just the way it felt and the way it tasted. And, you know, you're going on a road against a Florida team that's not good at all, really, to be honest with you. But you just got to play the game. Let's get back to fundamentals.
My thing is, take the crowd out of it early and score right off the bat.
Yeah, but how do you do that? The problem is, I don't know how you do that. So
not this team, I don't know.
That's right. So what I'm saying is, so now you just get back to basics. You got to tackle, you got to block, you got to run, you got to catch, you got to pass. Let's just get back to that. Let's not try to overcomplicate this thing and none of that stuff, because I think that's where we are right now. Who is this team? What are we going to be as we move forward? If you would have asked me this 3 games ago or 4 games ago, I'd have said, this is a really good team that knows how to finish a game. They're not as talented as we want them to be, but they really have a lot of dog in them and a lot of fight in them. And I still believe that. So on the road, fight like hell, and let's go in and try to play the best football, clean football game we can, not turn the ball over, but also create turnovers. And as you say, get the crowd out of the game early and do what you can to put points on the board.
I'm interested in, can they stop the run? Because I think that's the key. I want the freshman quarterback to be the guy to beat me. I don't want this to be Ball. And if Montrell plays, he would be part of it. We're not sure about that. But I want TJ to be the guy. If anybody's going to beat me, I'll say you do it. Because I'm not going to let you run the football.
Exactly. I agree with you. That's what I wanted them to do last week. Say, hey, Jalen, you beat me, but beat me with your arm and not your legs.
Correct.
So today it's okay, Lagway. I want you to beat me with your legs and not your arms, because what he can throw the ball, he can do well is throw the football down the field. So, but whatever it is that Lagway can do, just to make him be the one to beat you. I agree with that.
Yeah, the chunk plays you're going to have to watch for, because that's what he likes to do a lot. Yeah. He likes to throw the football deep. Keep everybody up to date. It is almost halftime, and Tulane with a 14-0 lead over Navy. The Green Wave jumping all over the Navy team. They had a couple of other opportunities to score, didn't cash in, but 14-0. And, man, Navy, this is sort of their game. They like to keep it low scoring. But, man, Coach Summerall has done a fantastic job there. You talk about some big moccasins you put your feet in. Because Willie Fritz built that team, and even Coach Summerall will tell you, it's different for me. I didn't have to rebuild the program. Yeah. Willie did. I just kind of put my touches on it. He did the addition part of it.
Yeah, and I think he's doing a phenomenal job. But I was telling you this earlier. It's just, at 8-2 and 6-0 in their conference, I mean, and Tulane's been averaging this the last four years. And so this program has really come from one of, demise, if you will, or just not as prideful of a program, to something consistently putting a really good product on the football field.
Your thoughts tonight, does Georgia bounce back playing a pretty good Tennessee team? Now, we don't know about Nico, how healthy he is. He's supposed to play at the quarterback spot, but he's coming off a head injury with concussion. He's apparently passed everything so far, but that's always touchy with them. We know they want to run the ball. Tennessee wants to run it and throw the ball deep downfield.
So Tennessee is a really great team. I think they have a little bit of everything that they need to be successful. I just think that Georgia was really embarrassed last week, and I think they're going to come back and play a much better game than what we saw last week.
Carson Beck has got to be the key there, because Herb, out of all the players in the SEC, he's been the most disappointing.
He's supposed to be the guy, but he ain't.
He's supposed to be the man.
It's one of those things where, okay, where's Georgia at now? Who are they going to have next? And, Georgia normally has, over the past 8 years, they had one guy. It seemed like he played there for 9 years or something.
Yeah,
but
he was collecting Social Security money.
Right. Exactly. So, with that being said, I think Georgia is really going to come out tonight and play the type of football that they want to play. And I would say that Georgia would beat Tennessee tonight.
Yeah, I think so also. And I know we had it in our Pick'em segment. Picking Georgia over Tennessee, and I think a lot of it had to do with me. I wasn't sure how healthy Nico is going to be, because, man, that Georgia defense gets after you, and they fast. Want to thank everybody for listening to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Come on by. Got great food and drink specials here. Hey, We know what's happening at 2:30 kickoff, but we're going to throw it to the LSU Radio Network. They'll give you a couple hours of pregame right before kickoff. LSU, Florida Gators, right here on the Big 870 WWL.